sound of the music, you know what time it is. It's Faith and Sport Time here on Carolina Catholic Radio Charlotte and CarolinaCatholicMedia.org. We're also streaming it on the Carolina Catholic Media app. Also broadcasting across the Radio Maria Radio Network. Good to be here with you for another edition of Faith and Sport. I'm Chris, the producer of the show, and as always, the host of Faith and Sport, the one, the only, the most incomparable, Dr. John Aquaviva.
Yay!
Folks, welcome.
Yeah, baby, yeah, he's the man!
Folks, welcome to the show, wherever, whenever, however you're listening to us. Dr. John Aquaviva. I teach exercise physiology at Wingate University, but every couple weeks we come in here in the studio and we do this crazy thing called Faith and Sport. Here's what we're going to do today. Talk today's sports topics, including our hit or miss with Ed Billick. He's going to join the conversation in 1 minute. Also in the conversation today, Elvis will be in the building. Well, kind of, through the phone line. Elvis Gerback, former University of Michigan quarterback, 9-year veteran in the NFL, and Catholic speaker. He's going to join the show. And we have a new segment, the strong connection between the NFL and Our Lady. Yes, as in the Blessed Virgin. That's a new segment, and then we're going to end it all with a quick Q&A with Dr. A. But first, let's talk with Ed Billick. Brother, how you doing? Happy New Year, Merry Christmas, the whole thing.
Happy New Year, and for our Russian Orthodox listeners, they just celebrated Christmas earlier last weekend.
That's right.
Yeah, exactly. So, wonderful time to be alive.
This is
wonderful
great.
Time. So, I know we got some real strong hit and misses, so
I can't wait
for that.
We do, brother. Before we do that, there's two things I want to do. One is give a shout-out and a hello to Vicky in Altoona. She contacted the show because I think it was the day after Christmas show. We were talking about all of the affiliates with Radio Maria, and I said one of them was Hollidaysburg, and you said something like, is there one in Altoona? And I said, you know what? I think the people in Altoona can hear it from the station in Hollidaysburg, 88.1 FM, and she confirmed that through an email.
We'd love to hear from listeners because it gives us great joy. We know a lot of you are listening, but it takes a little time, so hey. Wherever you are the Carolina Catholic Radio, Radio Maria world, send us a little note.
Absolutely.
How did they get a hold of us?
They could do it a couple ways, brother. One way is they can tweet me. I love saying that. They can send me a tweet through Twitter, right? It's j.aquaviva, the number one. So you have to look up how to spell Aquaviva. j.aquaviva, number one. Or faithandsport@wingate.edu. So just the name of the sport, but and, faithandsport@wingate.edu. So that's kind of like my email address. But brother, how are things going for you overall?
Doing well.
You seem like you have energy. The New Year's here. Do you make resolutions? Are you a resolution?
No, not at all.
Either do I.
Not at all. But I did say a prayer around Christmas time. We'll talk about that during the hit or miss.
I like that. The other thing I want to mention, in addition to Vicky being one of our most loyal listeners, by the way, she emailed and said she was listening on New Year's Day. So maybe that was her New Year's resolution to listen to Ed and John, and then when Jason's in studio, to listen to Faith and Sport. There's another story I wanted to pass on, and Vicky will be interested as much as anybody. I mentioned this a couple weeks ago, and I wanted to clarify and actually update it. And it was a really interesting story, I thought, Ed, about a Virginia Tech female women's soccer player who basically the team had said this agreement that they would kneel during the national anthem. This is a couple years ago at a Virginia Tech soccer game, that they would kneel during the national anthem in support of BLM. But this one gal, a starting member of the women's soccer team, her name is, I'll get it here in a second.
Yeah, because the decision just came down, didn't it?
That's right. That's one of the reasons I wanted to mention this. Her name is Kirsten Henning. And Kirsten said, I'm not going to kneel because I'm against some of the things that BLM stands for, including what was on their website, which they have since taken off, by the way. They wanted to dissolve the traditional nuclear family. And that really upset a lot of people, a lot of Christians, so forth. That's certainly against Catholic teaching. And when she did that, she was reprimanded in more than one way. First of all, the coach sat her out, I think, for the rest of the game. And so let's see. When she decided that she would not kneel as a form of supporting BLM, there were four substantial actions in her refusal to kneel. She said that she was berated at halftime during that game, benched during the second half of that game, and was criticized later during a team meeting and had playing time cut during the next two games.
How long ago was this?
This is 2 years ago.
Yeah.
So just yesterday, a lawsuit came through and that the school, Virginia Tech, awarded her $100,000. They claim no wrongdoing, but how on earth do you give somebody $100,000 yet? But that's pretty typical in our culture, right? That's their way of saying, take the money, but we aren't guilty of anything. But certainly they're guilty of something in my mind. Certainly this was a direct cause and effect situation. But good for her for standing up for her beliefs. And shame on the school, and in particular, shame on that coach. And the one thing about this is, and we can just end it on this, and I can give you the final comment. But we assume that whenever there's a cause or whenever there is something to protest for or against, we assume that if the people around us agree with us, that everybody on earth agrees with us.
Yeah, crowd mentality.
That's right. And that's not necessarily the case. It certainly wasn't here. So good for Kirsten.
Yeah, that's how Jesus got crucified.
That's right. Folks, you're listening to Faith and Sport here on Carolina Catholic Radio. It's a co-production of Radio Maria. I am Dr. John Aquaviva. Sitting right beside me is Ed Billick. By the way, folks, if you want to hear past shows, all you have to do is go to CarolinaCatholicRadio.org, or you can go to YouTube, and if you put in Faith and Sport, you can see both Ed and I in action, how we respond to the music in particular. Chris has these great pieces of music when we're jamming. Sometimes we even get out of our seat. So you can actually see the action as it's happening and not just hear about it on Radio Maria and Carolina Catholic Radio. Go ahead.
No, you just gave me a great idea. I'll share with you later.
Brother, one of the first things we always do in this show is we do what's called a hit or miss. And anybody just joining us, maybe it was their New Year's resolution, Ed, to join Faith in Sport, to hear what two Jamokes talk about on the air. And what we do here, folks, is we always start the conversation off by talking about something that's good or bad, positive or negative in the world of sport. It can be personal. It could be a national story. And as always, Ed, you go first. What do you got for us, brother?
You know, it's interesting. You never know if the good Lord's answering your prayers.
That's right.
And sometimes you'll say, yeah, that was an answer, but it may be weeks, months, maybe even years later that finally the answer came through. But during the Christmas time, I said, Lord, you know, show us your presence.
Yeah.
Show us that you exist. Show the world something significant. Well, he was born on Christmas Day, Sunday. And now Monday Night Football in Cincinnati.
2 weeks
folks,
ago, yeah.
You're going, you know where I'm going with this. Football player had a heart attack on the field.
DeMar Hamlin.
So imagine the last thing you saw as this 24-year-old athlete. He's a top-notch football player.
Yeah.
He was tackled, and then you wake up days later to learn that your cardiac arrest turned a football game into a prayer meeting.
That's right.
Convinced an ESPN anchor to pray on television to God Almighty. You know,
I love
that
it.
Before.
Love it.
Raised over $7-8 million in 2 days to buy toys for kids in need. When God decides to use you, what seems like a tragedy can be turned into a triumph. So I just want to someday meet the guy, you know, and he wants to meet the Lord. And I tell you what, did he have a near-death experience? Well,
sure
yeah.
Did.
What did he see? So there's a lot more to come from this Buffalo Bill player who now. I mean, he caused the whole world to pray for him, especially the sports world. So I think that is one big hit of the week since we were last together.
Very good, brother. I love that. This was a big deal. Certainly, I think we could say there's every year at the end of the year, you could reflect on a lot of big stories. And often they're about like an underdog team that wins a championship or some great play that was made to win a game, whatever the case is. I think this will officially be the story of the year. Certainly the last couple years, it got everybody's attention. And I think in part because it was so dramatic. Did you see the film?
Yeah.
He hits the guy, stands up, and then immediately falls down.
Fell backwards.
Yeah,
and you have technology today, but the EMS guys or the trainer of the team with all their tools, they're right on the spot. Who enables all that? It's our man upstairs.
Yeah, no, I like the way you tied that back in. And it's true. And we're going to come back to this in the next segment because I want to talk a little bit more about this.
I'd love to get him on the show someday, DeMar Hamlin.
What else is he doing, right? He might be taking some time off from football. Maybe he can come on Faith in Sport. I agree.
That'd be great.
Very good, brother.
How about you?
Mine has to do with football as well. Mine has to do with my little son, Lukey, who's 11 years old. He's become a big University of Michigan fan like me. So we watched virtually every game this year together.
Like father, like son.
That's right. And we didn't watch them in their entirety, but he is big on it. He knows the players. He's getting to know the past. He knows who the coaches are. He knows a lot of these players.
Again, how old is he?
He's 11 years old.
Yeah, right.
So,
age.
Yes.
Right age, Chris.
So I am thankful. This is a big hit for me, and it has to do with the loss on the week of New Year's, right? In fact, it was New Year's Eve, and both the semifinal game were played. U of M was against TCU in the one semifinal, and the other semifinal was Ohio State versus Georgia. And now it's going to be TCU versus Georgia tonight. In fact.
Now, so if you're hearing the show later, you already had the spoiler alert.
Right.
Now, you
That's
know
right.
who won. We
That's
don't,
right.
but go ahead.
That's right. So the reason that this is a hit is that Michigan fell behind 14 points early, and then eventually it was an 18-point lead, and they fell behind again in the second half by 19 points. And it was a heartbreaker because Michigan would kind of catch up, and then they would fall back behind, and it was going back and forth. But they really shot themselves in the foot. I don't know if you know about some of the details, but just plain, you know, 10-second wrap-up. They had two pick-sixes. Michigan threw two pick-sixes, and then twice they were within the three. One time inside the one, and they didn't score a point.
I saw all that.
So that's 28 points different. They lost by 6 points. Lukey was crying at the end of the game.
Physically crying?
Yeah, he was so distraught. It was such an emotional up-and-down game. They're behind. It doesn't look like they're going to win. Lukey's like, I thought their defense was good, and here they let up 51 points total.
How, as a parent, do you handle that?
That was why it was a hit, is because up until the time that I had children, I was in my 40s when I got married, and when I got married, especially had children, that changed and that impacted me a great deal on how I view sport, and especially when Lukey started to watch games with me. And I realized from the start, and I feel this is a true blessing, it gave me an opportunity to be a good role model to him. It's good to be passionate about your team. It's good to follow a team. It's good to root for a team. It's good to be happy when you win. It's good to be sad. It's okay to be sad when you lose. But there is an appropriate amount of actions that are kind of acceptable to the household, to fellow, to friends and opponents of, you know, of the team you're playing and so forth. If you're in a social spot, you know, where the people are there that aren't for your team and so forth. And there are some really bad instances of poor sportsmanship, right? We see it at, all you have to do is go to any game, and then you'll see people arguing, and they become disrespectful of one another. They do all these things. And I think this is a great opportunity for me every week, especially during the college football season, for me to role model it. I was disappointed. I was sad. I had probably tears in my eyes as well, not literally, but figuratively. I was so disappointed. They were heavily favored to go to the final against Georgia, and they just didn't do it. And when I looked at Lukey, I was happy to have that opportunity to put my arm around him and talk about, it's tough being a fan, Luke. It's really, Chris knows this, being an NC State fan, being a Commanders fan, being a Pittsburgh fan, you, Ed, it's tough being a fan, because inevitably, even if you're a Steelers fan, you're going to get let down. You're going to be disappointed. And it's going to be some really sad
moments.
So
what you're doing here, as we get ready for the break, you're teaching him how to handle life's losses and disappointments in life. You're role modeling that.
Yeah. And I was just thankful for that opportunity, because in essence, if they won, I may not have had that opportunity.
So both of you then pulled out the Kleenex.
It was fantastic. I'm really thankful for that. It was really disappointing, but it kept me from being so disappointed, because I use it as an opportunity, and I was happy.
You became the dad you are. Good.
I appreciate
good stuff.
That, brother. Folks, thank you for joining us here on Faith in Sport. We got more to come. Right after this, we're going to talk a little bit more about the DeMar Hamlin situation. We have coming up also the audio of the week, but one of the main things we're going to do in this next segment is the strong connection between the NFL and Our Lady. Stick with us for 2 minutes. We'll be right back.
Who's that whispering in the trees? It's two cities and they're only pipes and chains and...
Hello, my name is Ray Haywood, and I'm coming to you today to speak to you about the Fraternity of St. Joseph Men's Group, a men's group that was started under the leadership of Father Matthew Codd by the intentional men of the parish of St. Thomas Aquinas here in our diocese of Charlotte, North Carolina. In our first efforts, we were asked if we would model our men's group in a way that other parishes could simply follow. With that intent in mind, we created the FSJJourneyman.com website. On that website, you can find all that is needed to create your own chapter of the Fraternity of St. Joseph Men's Group in your parish, as well as resource documents that we are intentionally placing into our faith community. We hope that you will step closer to the path and to each other in the just model of St. Joseph as you consider creating your own chapter of the Fraternity of St. Joseph Men's Group.
Faith and charity are key elements of life, but are they at the center of your retirement planning and life insurance decisions? Knights of Columbus, a trusted organization with a proud history of more than 140 years of helping its members, can help Catholic families with insurance and retirement planning solutions. Most importantly, we do this in a way that is compatible with Catholic teaching of the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops Investment Guidelines. Today, we have expanded our offerings to include retirement annuities, long-term care insurance, and disability income insurance. Beyond the benefits of financial protection, members may take satisfaction in knowing that Knights of Columbus contribute to causes that align with Catholic moral teaching. Let your faith inspire your financial decisions. Terms and conditions apply. Learn more by calling North Carolina General Agent Christopher Mahoney at 919-719-2715.
Hey, folks, welcome back to Faith and Sport. I'm Dr. John Acquaviva, joined in studio by Ed Billick. We just finished talking about our hit and miss for the week, hit or miss for the week. If you're just joining us, be sure to check us out at CarolinaCatholicRadio.org. You can hear the podcast also at Radio Maria. So either way, we thank you for listening in today, however, whenever, and wherever you're listening to us. We just appreciate however you're joining the show today, Faith and Sport.
And there's a lot of other great local shows on this radio station.
Oh, I don't
station.
Know about that,
it keeps
brother.
Growing.
You mean
it
better than this one?
Well, I tell you, it's close.
In fact, maybe Chris, our producer, can jump on the microphone. He can tell us just the names of some of those other programs.
Because since Chris produces most all of them anyhow,
right,
Chris?
So, Chris, we have, just name a couple of the local radio programs we have here on Carolina Catholic Radio.
Well, as you already know, he's sometimes our co-host here, Jason Murphy, with The Obligation.
Obligation.
And then we have Joyful Echo with
I love those
Kathleen
gals.
Lewis and Gene Whalen.
I love the. I know they're great.
And one of the newest programs that we started just a few months ago, the Census Fidelium Hour.
There you go. And then there's also what's called The Remnant.
That's right, with Remnant. Bill Snyder.
Okay, is that Bill's one of the guys, and there's one two guy other guys of three different generations, and they're just coming at it from kind of like three different generations of dudes.
That's right, and we air. They air different times during the week, but on Saturdays we air all the programs in one big block, including Faith and Sport, and call it the Catholic Man Cave.
There you go. I love this.
Well, why not?
Yeah.
Anyway, brother, thank you for doing this when you do this. Chris, thank you for what you do. But when you're in studio with me, brother, just like with Jason in studio, it gives me a lot of energy.
We get all fired up, baby.
I appreciate
we're getting
it.
Fired up here.
Yeah,
Faith
and Sport. You're one of the manliest Catholics that we know of, Ed.
Ladies and gentlemen.
That's right, because of that great voice alone.
Okay.
That's
right. Let's go.
All right,
continue
so
the program.
Last month was a big month in the world of being a Pittsburgh Steelers fan. An NFL fan, but one of it one piece was it was a sad thing in that longtime great running back Hall of Famer Franco Harris died, and I want to say within the same 2 week period that he died, there was a celebration of a great catch that he had made in a playoff game, huge playoff game, bitter rivalries between the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Oakland Raiders, and he made a miraculous catch, and he ran into the end zone to win a playoff game. And it was termed the Immaculate Reception. And do I have all of this correct?
You were perfectly right. And today there is a monument in the old parking in the parking lot of Acrisure Stadium. It used to be Heinz Field. There's a monument, and people put their foot, and there's a footprint where he went down and caught the ball.
Oh, is that true?
Yeah, and my wife goes, why did they?
What is it, like in the parking lot or something?
Yeah, well, it's in the parking lot. Why did they build a monument? And you guys can see it. And the footprint, so we all put our feet in there. He goes, why did they do that? And we'll talk about why they built that monument.
So this is in the mid to late 1970s. And again, there's this bitter rivalry.
Early 70s. I was 19 was it, years old.
It was 1972. It was 1972. That's right. Mm-hmm. And the next one about Our Lady has to do with 1975, which is the mid 1970s. But this is what I talked about earlier, a new segment, the connection between the NFL and Our Lady. And this is the background on how it got called the Immaculate Reception. There's an 8-minute YouTube video, but I spliced together just like a minute here of how this whole thing got started. So that was the setup. Franco Harris caught this miraculous pass with just seconds remaining in this game to beat the Oakland Raiders. It was highly controversial because...
And he was never intended receiver.
He was not the intended receiver. So, Chris, play this clip, and this is the birth of how this term came up, the Immaculate Reception.
Franco Harris's touchdown was shrouded in mystery and had an image that would become iconic. But to become a play for the ages, it needed a name. And it was christened the night of the game by this man in a Pittsburgh tavern.
This was the synchronicity of universal events. It was destined to happen. It was going to happen. We just didn't know it was going to happen. Growing up Catholic, I remember the Feast of the Immaculate Conception. So I climbed up on a table, and like you do at an old fire hall wedding, you know, I got a spoon and I banged on a glass. I would like to suggest that from this day on, we refer to this day as the Feast of the Immaculate Reception. And the place went bonkers.
So that was just part of the story. His wife knew the commentator, the play-by-play commentator for the Pittsburgh Steelers by the name of?
Myron Cope. Myron Cope of sports, who passed away years ago as well. But Myron Cope also created the terrible towel.
Oh, is that true?
So,
well, actually, he didn't create this. He just helped elevate this to the point to where that's
I think he did, because I didn't know about Sharon Lvovsky or whoever she is. She and her husband, this guy here. But anyhow, continue the story.
So she knows this gentleman that is the play-by-play commentator, and she called him that evening and said, we have a name for this great catch. And at that night on the evening news, they called it an immaculate catch.
On WTAE Channel 4, Pittsburgh.
And to everybody's recall, it took actually years for it to be dubbed the Immaculate Reception. But today, most people, especially if they're 50 years or older, would be able to recall that something had to do with Franco Harris or the Pittsburgh Steelers making this miraculous
catch.
And the
NFL claimed it here at the recent anniversary as the number one iconic play
in
NFL history.
No, I don't doubt that. Yeah.
Well, describe how it happened.
Okay, so they're just before midfield. Terry Bradshaw from the Steelers drops back to pass. He throws about a 30-yard pass to about the 30-yard line of the Raiders. Jack Tatum, the defensive back of the Oakland Raiders, collides with the receiver, I think John Stallworth.
No, Frenchie Fuqua.
Oh, Frenchie Fuqua. Okay, that's right. Stallworth actually came later. He wasn't on the team yet.
You're right.
And they basically bonked heads, and the ball, somewhere in them two bonking heads, hit off Tatum's helmet, and they're not sure whether it hit the wide receiver for the Steelers, which would make it a legal pass back then. It would make it illegal. Today it would be illegal. It would be legal. Anyway, it took a crazy bounce and basically jumped into the hands of Franco Harris. He bent over, picked it up inches from the ground, and he was running in stride. And, of course, there was nobody to stop him because everybody was kind of in shock that anybody even caught this kind of crazy pass. But it bounced backwards right into the hands of – I shouldn't say right into the hands. He made a pretty good catch, like a shoestring catch. And then he just ran down the sidelines, barely kept in bounds, and then just – ran into the end zone and scored.
And as Franco tells a story, his head football coach at Penn State, Joe Paterno, said, always go for the ball. Always go for the ball. And he kind of doesn't remember, but all of a sudden it was right in his hands.
Just
before it hit the ground.
That's right.
And all you folks in Altoona, Pennsylvania, come on. I'm originally from Manassas, Pennsylvania, so big Steeler fan
here.
So I think we're describing it correctly. If we've missed something you want to
add to the story. That's right.
The Immaculate Reception.
And Vicky, let us know if we have any of those details incorrect. So there's a lot more to be said about that, but that's certainly the gist of it, and that's how it got started. But again, I think it's important to note that even though it was the birth of it, it took a long time before everybody knew
it. If it was offensive, Chris, because the Rooneys are devout Catholics, they would have put up, you know, they own the Steelers. They would have said, no, 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 we shouldn't use that terminology. But you got other connections with the NFL, don't you?
No, I like that you said that. I do want to go back to that for a minute. And that is one thing. I think there are probably some listeners, right? We know that there are some listeners in Peshtigo, for instance, and Alexandria.
Well, right here in Charlotte.
Right here in Charlotte. And then throughout our Radio Maria listeners, as well as the Carolina Catholic Radio people, I think that have always been slightly offended by that. And I can see that, right? I can see them being offended by them terming a football play
immaculately.
Well,
you're dressed immaculately.
It's just that it kind of rhymes,
on
right?
The December 8th, Holy Day of Obligation.
You're a good practicing Catholic. I'm not offended by it either, but I am sensitive enough to go, yeah, I could see why people would
How about Hail Mary passes?
Okay, well, that's. I think that's right. I think people probably get offended by that as well. But that leads us to story number two on the strong connection between the NFL and Our Lady. So fast forward only a couple years later. This is 1975 in the other division called the NFC. In which, again, a bitter rivalry. These two teams were vying for the playoffs and the Super Bowl just about every year during the 70s. The Minnesota Vikings and the Dallas Cowboys. And the way the Hail Mary, which is even more popular, you would agree, than the Immaculate Reception.
Oh, yeah. Full of grace, the Lord is with you.
Because everybody says this now. They're going to have to throw up a Hail Mary, right? And so what happened was they're playing the Dallas Cowboys are playing the Minnesota Vikings. Roger Staubach, a faithful Catholic. By the way, Joe DeLamalier, a friend of the show who's been a guest as many times as anybody on this show, Hall of Famer for the Buffalo Bills, confirmed. He said, John, he's a great guy.
Oh, he is a great
and
guy.
And a faithful Catholic, yep. Roger Staubach is. And so, Roger, by the way, if you're listening to this, just tap into the show like Vicky did.
We'd love to have you come on, Roger.
That's right. We would love to have you clarify any mistakes that we make in this story. So there's last second. They're literally at midfield. He just drops back. He's getting pressure from the defense. Heaves it up. Drew Pearson catches the ball, stumbles into the end zone, raises the ball in the air. And after the game, he's sitting in front of his locker and somebody shoved a microphone in front of his face, as they do with probably every game, win or lose, to the quarterback. And they said, what happened on that play? And he said, I dropped back and I threw it as far as I could and I said a Hail Mary. And boy, did that stick. Every commentator from junior high through the pros probably uses that every single weekend in the world of football. Don't you think?
Oh,
they're like, they're gonna have to do a Hail Mary at the end of the half here. They're going to have to do a Hail Mary at the end of the game here. And, of course, what that meant was exactly what Roger Staubach did. You just threw it up and you say a prayer. And what he meant by that is he literally didn't have time to pray. It just means the chances of this aren't very high.
And Doug Flutie did it years later in college. It started, they say, back in 1922, and Notre Dame was playing Georgia Tech.
Yeah, tell that story.
So what they were doing is they said a Hail Mary prayer in the huddle before scoring, you know, a six-yard touchdown. And they said, saying that Hail Mary play. Saying that Hail Mary play was the best play we ever got.
I love it.
Our Lady gets involved in all kinds of stuff.
I love that. You know? No, that's fantastic. And I mean this, and I say this as a prayer, as I'm saying this to the Lord. Lord, nobody means any malintent on this. It's just become kind of folklore, and even the non-believers kind of use this terminology.
It's leaning on your faith while playing sport. Right.
No, that is true. But the thing is there's a lot of non-believers that use that term, and I think that's maybe what people get offended by.
At least they're getting started.
Listen, folks, coming up after the break, which is just in a couple minutes, Elvis Gerback. He's a former, the aforementioned University of Michigan. He was a star at the University of Michigan, and he was a nine-season NFL quarterback for three different teams. And he's a prominent Catholic speaker. He's going to join us on the show in just a couple
minutes. How do you get
some
of these great guests?
I know. I say a Hail Mary, and then I make a phone call.
It works.
So before we go to that, there's a point I want to make, and this is kind of doing the Damar Hamlin on a kind of little bit of a downturn, brother, and hang with me on this. There was commentary about that game, which was canceled, by the way, that game between the Bills and the Bengals. It got canceled. In other words, they never resumed the game after Damar Hamlin went down with the cardiac arrest. But one of the things they were saying the next day on sports radio was it was so wonderful because all of these players, they kind of hugged and there was tears and there was praying. And they said it was just a wonderful moment of camaraderie and like colors and team logos and team emblems. They just kind of melted away and everybody was just one big NFL family and everybody was praying for Damar. I think all that was great. What I say is similar to what they said in 9/11. You probably remember this in 9/11, that New Yorkers, for the first time in decades, for a few days, maybe even a few weeks after 9/11 happened, people were friendly to one another. They were polite to one another. There was a lot of respect they had for one another. But the question I had, Ed, was, and we only have about 50 seconds to say all this, was why does it take two planes going into two major buildings for us to be nice and respectful to one another? Why does it take a player, a 24-year-old, going down from cardiac arrest before players show some respect and love and care for one another? There's so many times that people knock people out. You see this. We talked about this before. It's one of the bad parts of sport. They'll stand over the guy as if there's some male lion that
there are so many examples of that. There's a World War I where the Germans and the Americans all got together in the same foxhole on Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
There's so many times where you start realizing the spiritual world versus the earthly world.
No,
and
I know.
That's what brings people together.
No, I agree, but there's, but it, I'm just.
It takes something like that.
It's unfortunately it takes something like that. All right, I'm not. I don't want to harp on that, but I
no,
want
but
to go
it's
back
a good
to
topic.
Your,
we want to get into that. Sometime.
I agree. I agree, brother. Listen, we have another good audio clip coming in the last part of the show, but until then, let's take a break. But right after this, Elvis Gerback's going to join us. Stay with us, folks, here on Faith in Sport.
Hi everyone, it's Jason Murphy for the Catholic Men's Conference of the Carolinas and the Obligation Radio Show here on the Carolina Catholic Media Network. Registration is now open for the 13th annual Catholic Men's Conference of the Carolinas to be held on March 18th, 2023 at St. Thomas Aquinas Catholic Church. It's going to be an amazing day of faith, fellowship, and prayer. Of course, we'll be joined, as always, by our own Bishop Peter Jugas of the Diocese of Charlotte. We also have a great lineup of speakers, including Charles Frawney. Charles is the author of Slaying Dragons, What Exorcists See, and What We Should Know. He's going to be there to discuss spiritual warfare. Also joining us, Jonathan Fanning. He is an author, speaker, an entrepreneur, and a father. Coming to us from High Point, North Carolina, the Diocese of Charlotte, is Deacon John Clark. Deacon is a former NYPD SWAT officer and former MMA fighter. You won't want to miss this one. Scott Wieman is going to be another one of our speakers. He is with Catholic in Recovery. He's going to talk to us about addiction and recovery for Catholics. And our MC this year will be Kevin Spaulding. Kevin is a speaker, an author, and business life coach. You can go online now to www.catholicmenofthecarolinas.org. Make sure to use the promo code radio and save $5. We look forward to seeing you there on this awesome day full of faith, fellowship, and prayer. For the Catholic Men's Conference, Carolinas, the Obligation Radio Show, my name is Jason Murphy. God bless, and esto vir.
Hey, folks, welcome back to Faith in Sport. I'm Dr. John Aquaviva. We're joined in studio by Ed Billick. Hey, folks, if you ever want to contact us, Twitter account is j.aquaviva1, the number one, or you can email me at faithandsport@wingate.edu. This is Faith in Sport, where we apply our faith to all aspects of sport. Listen, Elvis Gerback's going to join us in 1 minute. He is a former NFL quarterback. He's a former quarterback of University of Michigan. He was featured on the EWTN program, The Journey Home. We got all kinds of questions to ask him. I don't even know where to start. I want to start with his name, but he probably gets questions about that all the time, so I just want to ask him about his faith. So, anyway, folks, either way, we're thankful that you're joining us here on Carolina Catholic Radio. It's a co-production of Radio Maria. Ed, you mentioned that you do not do resolutions. But, you know, I don't do actions in resolutions, but in prayer. So there's certain things that every year it comes to mind. I say, I want to pray for that this year. Like, that's going to be
that's
my intention.
Yeah.
So rather than, I'm going to eat more Christmas cookies this year, right? Because that was last year's resolutions, to eat more Christmas cookies. But this year I didn't do that. It's just praying for on certain things. Because I think, as we talked about with Damar Hamlin, it's a really important, and in fact, it's one of the most underrated things of aspects of our faith. Wouldn't you agree?
Prayer? Yeah, exactly. And I tell you, one that I had about 3 or 4 years ago, when I receive Holy Communion, yeah, I put a big smile on my face.
I love it.
I've forced a smile, and it's not forced after all. And then Eucharistic Mass goes, what's he smiling about?
Because you're receiving the Lord,
absolutely,
brother.
Absolutely.
There you go.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Hey, let's bring out our guest. His name is Elvis Gerback. He is a faithful Catholic. Oh, there's that music. Okay, listen.
You're confusing people.
I know.
Here.
I think we are confusing people. Elvis Gerback, welcome to Faith and Sport. How you doing today, my man?
Good. How are you? Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Elvis, how long does it? How many days does it go in your life where people ask you why you have that name or some type of Elvis Presley reference? How many days
goes about every day?
Okay. So you probably recognize that music because when you're on other radio programs, they probably play that same music. And just, this is as sincere as I can get. Our producer, Chris Pressler, is the biggest Elvis Presley fan. So when I told him Elvis was going to be in the building, he almost walked out of his shoes.
Elvis really is alive.
Elvis, my man, I mentioned just before you came on that you were interviewed on the great program on EWTN, The Journey Home. And my guess is you're one of the few people that was on there as a revert rather than as a convert. And the big question I always love asking people who revert or convert is, who was or what was an occurrence that really was kind of like a peg or a blip on that map to put you on that journey to reinvigorate your faith?
Well, I will have to say this, so I'm 100% Croatian. So my mom and dad came over to the United States.
I got to stop you there for a second. Elvis, my last name is Bilic. It was Bilicic. My grandparents came from Draganic.
Yep.
And I got you on Google Maps. You guys, your family came from what, Istria?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, Lemishtja. Very small, just kind of like, right south of the Slovenian border, if you're coming from Trier.
Yeah, I see. It's a peninsula. Just final question. We get back into Gerback. Is that shortened from something?
Yeah, it's Gerbats.
Gerbats.
Oh, God.
So if I say,
you've got to be able to roll your R's.
So if I say Kakovi, you say?
Dobro.
Brats. You're my brats. Okay, back to John.
Okay, it's confirmed. Okay, I just checked off real Croatian for Elvis. Now let's get into the, let's see if he can check off the other boxes here. Elvis, so that question, what or who was instrumental in you reverting back to the faith?
Well, let's start with my mom and dad, obviously, coming over from the old country, very, I would say, strict in the sense of the Catholic faith, maybe a little bit, different than what it is maybe in the United States and things like that. So, going to Mass and things like that was not even a question when
sure.
I was growing up.
Yeah.
But I will say this. I usually, when I talk to men's conferences and things like that, I always bring up this, I'm not going to say God experience that I had when I was a kid. I was a 10-year-old kid. On Easter Sunday morning, I got ready pretty early before my brothers and sisters because we would go downtown Cleveland and go to the Croatian church down there. So it was a good, sure. Half an hour, 45-minute drive.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to get ready early in the morning. And like every good Catholic kid, when you're sitting on your bed, there should be a crucifix over your bed, right?
Yeah.
And so I pulled that crucifix off, and I sat there. I really don't remember when I talked to my spiritual director about it. It could have been a half an hour. It could have been 45 minutes. It could have been an hour. I have no idea. And I had an experience where as a 10-year-old kid really kind of came to understand what Christ had done for me on the cross.
Hmm.
And it brought me to tears. And
neat.
I still remember that. And that was kind of like there was a seed, I understand it now as a seed planted within my soul, that I think God knew, understood that being an athlete, I was going to go off and do those things,
yeah.
But eventually that seed was going to bear fruit. And it has. It has, in the last, I'm going to say 10 years or so, it really has kind of flourished. I was a stay-home dad after I played.
Yeah.
I really spent time with my kids. And then from there, it was just something that continues. It was a calling for me to really
Awesome. Folks, you're listening to Faith and Sport here on Carolina Catholic Radio. It's a co-production of Radio Maria. We're talking with former NFL and University of Michigan quarterback Elvis Gerback. Elvis, as a Catholic speaker, you present a lot on the faith and your journey and so forth. Is there a question that you get from audiences or something that you talk about that you find gives energy to that talk that people really want to hear about? Is it something about you being an NFL quarterback? Is it something about playing in front of hundreds of thousands of people? Is it something about that 10-year-old experience you had? What is it that gives people energy when you're talking to them?
Well, the one thing that for me, predominantly I always speak to men's groups. And so predominantly, I was very fortunate to really kind of have a solid base with my parents. And my dad and my mom would always speak about, ordering three things in your life correctly. Number one, your faith. Second, your family. And then third, work, what you do as a living to provide for your family and things like that.
Sure.
That's the correct ordering. When I talk to guys, and I've talked to guys all over the country, this ordering is completely off whack. And it's happened to me. When I was playing, that aspect of work really takes over the focus of who you are.
Yeah.
It almost kind of defines you.
Yeah.
And if there's people out there listening to me right now, they know exactly what I'm talking about. What you do every day will start to define you. You're always going to love your family. You're going to provide for your family. But then that faith aspect part of it kind of gets lost in that third slot. And that's really not the correct order. We've got to maybe tell those guys and really reorder their lives where faith becomes number one in our lives. Because then, as we know, as men, Scott Hahn made this great talk one time, and he gave a percentage about families, a typical family of five. If let's just say out of the five, three kids and parents, one of the kid was really active in their faith, 10% of the rest of the family would be active in their faith.
Yeah.
If the mother is, then it's like it bumps up to about 25% of the rest of the family. When the father's active in his faith and he teaches the faith at home, it's over 80% of the rest of the family follows in order.
Yeah.
So it always comes down to us, always. Sure. Everything that you do as a father figure, as a husband, whatever it is, that it always comes down to us. And I always stress that to the guys is that you might have some questions and you might not know everything about it, but you've got to seek that out and put that as the focal point. And then that trickles down into your family. Then it trickles down into your work life. And then it just flourishes the entire thing.
Very good. No, that's a great point. It's a great reminder to so many of our listeners. Most likely, I think just the demographics say that a lot of listeners to Catholic radio are women. But I know there's a good percentage of guys out there listening right now, too. And that was a great reminder to them. And thank you for bringing out that point.
Yep.
Elvis, you are a father of three kids. I would assume that even if your kids weren't highly involved in sport, that you have, just being a former athlete and so forth, having been a former coach at the high school level and so forth, that you have your finger on the pulse of what's going on in youth sports. You certainly know what goes on at big-time college football, certainly at the NFL level. You played there for 9 years. But just in a general sense, what aspect of sport today, what level of sport, what aspect of sport is God needed most, do you feel?
Wow, that's a great question. Okay, so I've been everywhere. I've seen it at every level. I've seen it at the high school level. I went to college. I've seen it there, and I've seen it at the pros. I've seen it diminish at the pros. Then I got back into the high school football arena. Being here in Cleveland area, I don't know if you've ever heard of St. Ignatius High School.
I have, yeah.
Coach Kyle, I was able to coach over there for, I think it's been about 7 or 8 years. And my two boys went there, and my second son was a wide receiver there. And I tell you what, Coach Kyle, I'm not going to say old school, but he just did it right. Everything was geared around our faith and schoolwork, what you did in the school. And then everything else kind of fell into place. And think about this. I mean, he's one of the greatest coaches of all time in the state of Ohio. I think he has over 11, 12 state championships at the Division I level and a couple national championships.
Yeah.
And he just recently retired. And having an opportunity to be able to coach with him really kind of helped me on my path myself. And then I had an opportunity to go back to my alma mater, St. Joseph High School, which is VASJ here in the Cleveland area now, where, you know, Desmond Howard, myself, Clark Kellogg, the Golic brothers all went to high school there. And so I had an opportunity to really kind of go back and refocus the attention of, you know, what's really important. How many of these kids are going to make it to the next level?
That's right.
You know, it's you have to kind of put everything in the proper order for them. And then, you know, there's such a great expectation right now with parents trying to get scholarships and things like that. I understand that.
Yeah.
But in the long run, what is that person going to be? What is that kid going to be when he grows up, you know, every day in the workforce?
That's right.
What kind of person, what kind of family man is he going to be?
That's right.
That's really important. Guys, I was blessed with the two boys and my daughter. And, of course, my daughter got all the athletic genes. But my boys were pretty athletic. The second one could play any sport. But he was the kind of kid that whatever it was in season, he could play it.
Sure.
He was never, like, focused in on one. My daughter just recently graduated. She's actually getting her master's right now at Northwestern.
Awesome.
She was an outside hitter for Northwestern.
Awesome.
And she got the grades. She had everything. She, from day one, that's all she wanted to do. And if you know anything about travel volleyball, and there's parents out there listening to me right now, my daughter played since she was 10, and she was on the national teams. And so we traveled all over the country. And, you know, when we would go to Indianapolis or Columbus or Los Angeles or Orlando, wherever, I always got on my phone and found the nearest church.
Love it.
And, okay, you know, Mass is going to be at this time. Or my daughter would be like, well, Dad, we're supposed to go to team dinner at that time. I said, well, we're going to go to Mass first. Then we'll end
That's
up
right.
at team dinner after that.
That's right. Okay?
Easter, we would be in Chicago every Easter weekend, for crying out loud. And I would figure out the schedule and everything. And there's times where she would be playing all day long on Sunday. And she would actually come to church on Sunday
Love
in
it.
Her volleyball clothes.
Love
so
it.
It's just the priority of it and really teaching the faith at that level is extremely important because God bless them. If they, you know, if there's kids that make it all the way, you know, it's in the cards.
No,
they have great talent and everything kind of works out for them. But, you know, 95% of the kids are going to be husbands and wives. And,
that's right.
You know, taking care of their families and how you're going to structure that.
That's right. No, you had some great messages there. Elvis, thank you so much. Listen, I hope your heart and mind is open to another invite on this program. You got a lot to say. And tell our listeners how they can find out more about you, a website or some other social media site where they can find out a little more about you and what you talk about and so forth, Elvis.
Well, the easiest way is go to the CatholicSpeakers.com. And I'm there, my bio's there and everything. You know, I'm running a small cleaning company right now. I'm actually working with my wife.
Well, God, awesome.
God help me.
No, brother.
We're doing okay. I mean, this is a great discussion for maybe like another time.
Exactly.
What do you do after you're done playing?
And exactly.
I'm actually using this business as a ministry for me.
No, I love it.
Yeah.
Well, listen, thank you for saying yes to this conversation and being a great witness to the faith. And Ed, your Croatian new friend, has something to say
okay,
to you.
Okay, why don't you correct me, Elvis? Budre dobra?
Oh, dobro, GT.
Yeah, dova agena?
Yes.
Yeah, laka noć. It means good night, goodbye, and stay well, Elvis. We
there
love you,
go.
Man.
God bless you, man.
Thank you.
World out there.
Thank you, Elvis. Sure you take care, man. We'll talk soon, I hope.
Laka noć.
All right, thank you, man. Laka noć.
Okay, ciao. Here you go, folks. Elvis Gerback has left the building. I think we can safely say that. Poor guy. He hears that every single... Do you hear what he said? He goes, yeah. Every single day I hear that. Listen, folks, thank you for joining us here on Faith and Sport. You're listening to Carolina Catholic Radio, co-production of Radio Maria. I'm Dr. John Aquaviva. In studio is Ed Billick. We have one more segment. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
John Aquaviva has not left the building.
Teachers that care, professors that care about you. just an awesome experience all around.
There's peace here. There's encouragement here.
Faculty, everybody that works here, they really set you up for success.
I don't think I have ever felt as loved and as supported and as encouraged as I have at the Abbey.
There's something here that's underlying and intrinsic. There's like a spirit of love and community. And I think the spirit is God's presence here.
Belmont Abbey College, a world away, but close to home. Visit us at belmontabbeycollege.edu.
Experience the incredible story of the woman who Time magazine named the most influential Catholic woman in the United States. Born Rita Rizzo, the future mother Angelica grew up in a rough neighborhood in Canton, Ohio. Young Rita experienced abandonment, rejection, and heartache, but God touched her through a woman named Rhoda Wise. Encounter this amazing woman at the Mother Angelica Museum. Plan your visit today at motherangelicamuseum.com.
Hey guys, it's Jason Murphy for the Obligation Radio Show. Make sure to tune in on Friday afternoons at 5 p.m. to catch our latest episodes. From kids to marriage to business and church to politics to current events, we discuss topics of faith and life to help you become the man, the father, the husband God is calling you to be. Catch replays streaming throughout the week and on demand over the Carolina Catholic Radio app or anytime at carolinacatholicradio.org. God bless and Esto Vir.
Hey folks, welcome back to Faith and Sport. You're listening to Carolina Catholic Radio, a co-production of Radio Maria. Hey listen folks, this is Faith and Sport, where we merge sport and virtue. So if you are looking to make that connection between your life as an athlete, a parent of an athlete, a grandparent of an athlete, an administrator, an official, and the world of virtue, morality, and ethics, you've come to the right spot. I think, Ed, I think we're the only ones who talk about this.
Well, you know, we've been together since 2016.
That's right.
And off and on, I'm in here once a month.
That's right.
Elvis Gerback interview.
Gosh, you know that.
Oh, it was excellent. We could have had him on for a whole hour and he could have talked.
In fact, I meant what I said, and I'll mention it to him in an email as a follow-up, that Elvis, please come on the program again. But I think he will. And as you said off air, he would be great for a men's conference. And that's what he gets asked to do probably all the time.
And you know, you said in December show, you got a lot of great guests coming up. Folks, here on Faith and Sport, this is quality radio. And
I
it's
agree.
Going up in another notch.
Yeah.
Another notch.
Rebecca, it's Do So, a former Olympic athlete, has agreed to be on the show. She's going to be on.
Rebecca Do So?
Yeah, Do So. And she's big into fitness, so she would have been great on... And in any aspect of fitness and sport, but she's a stay-at-home mom. She has five kids like we do, and she is she's the teacher of their kids because she does homeschooling. So.
Folks, a lot of great topics on the show. We talked earlier on the Immaculate Reception, Damar Hamlin, all the implications there. So go back and listen to it. It's on a podcast.
Right.
Go to Carolina Catholic Media, scroll down to Faith and Sport, and you can listen to any show at any time.
People may not have heard of the Immaculate Reception, but they have heard of the Hail Mary Pass, and we talked about that too. So
as well.
Yeah, make sure you check it out.
A lot of good stuff going on.
You can go
to
Carolina Catholic Radio, Radio Maria, or YouTube and hit the play button and hear the podcast
anytime,
or
day or night.
Show. All right, listen, here's what we're gonna do. A couple weeks ago, the Heisman Trophy was announced. There's a lot of awards in college football every year, but the award is, and everybody knows this term, it's after a guy named John Heisman. It's been given away for 100 years now, and it's to the best college player. In fact, it's not always the best in my mind, but it's certainly the one that is the most exciting and is on a winning team. You never see a Heisman Trophy winner on a 2-10 team. You just don't see that.
No.
Caleb Williams, the quarterback for USC, University of Southern California, won this award. So I'm going to set up this this audio clip. I call it the audio clip of the week, in which he mentions his Catholic high school, all-boys school, Gonzaga in Washington, D.C., and it sounds great, but I'm going to do a spoiler here, Ed, and I'm going to say there's a big however at the end of it. So let's play this. This is part of his acceptance speech in New York right after it was announced that he won. They do not know who's going to win, but all the finalists prepare a speech. And this was part of his speech in which he mentions Gonzaga High School.
Coach Randy Travers, where you at, big dog? Stand up. Hey, hey. Hey, hey. You had the courage to start a ninth grader in the toughest high school conference in the country. The Gonzaga experience, both on and off the field, helped me to prepare me in more ways than you can imagine. Coach, you may not know this, but the Gonzaga mantra that you drilled into us, men for others, has helped inspire me to create the Caleb Karras Foundation, which is all about giving back. So thank you, Coach. Thank you, Gonzaga.
All right, so that's certainly a nice part of the speech. It's a shout out, a mention to his high school, his alma mater, Gonzaga High School in Washington, D.C., all boys Catholic school. I was going to make that my hit of the week until I found out what he does on a weekly basis, apparently, and what he did in the Pac-10 championship game. They played against Utah. Up until that point, it was their, I think they had one loss prior to that.
USC. Yeah.
And so they're playing Utah in the championship game. If they win, they go to the Final Four. They go to what's called the College Football Playoff. And needless to say, it's like any other rivalry between them and Utah. It's like Ohio State, Michigan. It's right. It's what they're. I think they dislike each other a great deal. But Caleb Williams, the week before he won this trophy, he painted on his fingernails, minus his thumb, blank Utah. The word starts with an F. So on each fingernail, he put that in bold letters, blank Utah. And I thought, if he was such a, you know, man that respects his teammates, respects the world of sport, and certainly a lover of our Lord, this is no way to treat the opponent. This is one of the issues within our culture, within the culture of sport, is that there's lack of respect.
No, you're right.
For the opponent. We don't have to like the opponent. We really don't. But there needs to be respect. And I don't mean just respect as their talent, but respect them as human beings, right? And I can't think of anything that is more subtle but yet disrespectful to paint something like that in your fingernails. First of all, I think that's kind of weird. It's certainly kind of passive-aggressive, but it's really negative for him to do something like that. And it was shown on national TV. Kirk Herbstreit, who anybody who's a college football fan knows who this person is. He is the most, I think, beloved
Absolutely. And
known person in the world of college football on ESPN.
Smart guy.
He berated Caleb Williams and ultimately berated his coaches for allowing that to happen. Because how on earth does one of his coaches, even if it's a position coach, doesn't see that stuff on his fingernails and it's caught on national TV? And Kirk Herbstreit was caught on TV cursing at the fact that it was allowed to have him wear that stuff on his
fingernails. It shows a lot of lack of class. It shows like it's a conflict in character. It's like, gosh, he needs a little coaching up on that, you know, and it's more deeper than that.
Yeah.
I would tell you though, John, one thing that I've learned is getting older in life, the F word doesn't mean as much as it used to. and sad to say, because
it's a vulgar term.
It's extremely vulgar.
Yeah, and it shows, again, lack of respect for lack of respect for a lot of things. Your teammates, I mean, your opponent for sure. But also,
it shows a lack of respect for yourself.
Lack of respect for yourself, and it shows a lack of respect for the viewer. There's a lot of kids watching that. My son was watching that game. He didn't see that particular thing. It wasn't so obvious, like a headband that like Jim McMahon wore, right? Remember he wore something about Roselle on his forehead in the 1980s. But that was something I thought was outside. And I'm not blaming Gonzaga High School. In fact, I think it's the opposite.
So
I just thought it was.
So your lesson to parents on this is what?
Well, even though his parents may have known about this, certainly they have the responsibility. At some point, even though he's a college kid, right? He's an adult. He's probably 21, 22 years old. They would certainly, it would be their responsibility to say something to young Caleb and go, son, you know, let's rethink stuff like
yeah,
that.
Absolutely.
And in particular, let's not use words like rethink. Let's say, let's not do that. That is a total disrespect. And ultimately, the reason I mentioned the
You're coaching parents here on that.
Yeah. But also, I'm kind of, I kind of feel embarrassed for Gonzaga High School. Here he is talking about Gonzaga High School, and their motto is men for others. And he's talking, and really he's kind of building this up like as if he is one of these guys. And I understand we're all sinners. I understand we all stumble. But it was just somewhat ironic and really sad that within the same seven-day period, he accepts this award, talks about how well he was raised through this Gonzaga Catholic High School experience in Washington, D.C., and then he does something like this. And apparently, this is somewhat of a habit for him week by week to put something on his fingernails.
Well, you know, too, is if I'm an NFL scout.
Yeah, you're going to take note of that.
I'm looking at character.
Yeah, but you know as well as I do, brother, as long as it's not legal, a legal matter, I think
yeah, well,
they
some teams it will.
You think some
yeah,
teams?
Yeah, some teams.
No, I think you're right.
It's a lack of maturity. It's a lack of leadership. I mean, yeah. When he needs some work done.
And in fairness, and I'll end with on this, because I don't want to harp on this too much longer, but I will say this and end it on a positive note. It's quite possible, even though he's 21, 22 years old, that 5 years from now, not only does he recognize it
He'll
as foolish,
it.
That he regrets it and he makes a public statement about it, maybe even apologizes to Utah. It's something that
we'll see.
Yeah, we can hope and we can certainly pray on, right? And we can ask Vicky from Altoona to pray on that, right? Because she is an avid and faithful listener
She's
to
the spreading
show.
The word of all of her Pittsburgh fans, too.
Poor Vicky, she sends this innocent email, and I mention her five or six times on the program, and she's probably blushing right now going, I didn't realize I was going to be mentioned so many times in one hour program.
Yeah.
So, brother, the second question that Chris has for us, Chris, do you have that second question? We can spend a minute on it about the semifinals. In fact, the final games tonight.
Some are calling the semifinals in the college football playoff the best ever. What's your opinion?
Did you watch any? Did you watch the Michigan TCU
yeah,
game?
Yeah, I did watch that one. I didn't watch the Georgia
did
one.
Did you hear what happened though?
Yeah. Well, Ohio State was good.
Ohio State had a chance to win it. 40 something yard kick. Ruggles, I think is, I forgot his first name. He's one of the best kickers in college football, and he not only misses it, he shanks it to the point where as soon as he kicked it, you're like, that's no good. They should have won that game. They could have won that game.
Who are you pulling, TCU or Georgia? I talked to my other Michigan fan. Yeah. He's definitely pulling for Georgia.
Is that right? Just because he wants to see. Yeah. And I kind of am with him, but in a way, I'd like to see the underdog. Do you know how much they're favored by Georgia? Almost two touchdowns.
Horned Frog?
And what is a horn? Does a Horned Frog actually exist? I'm not sure it does. But you got to give them credit. It hurts to even mention the three letters TCU because they crushed the hopes of my Michigan.
The game's played in Los Angeles tonight, isn't it? So it'll start like at midnight or something?
Well, out there it's going to start
I'm going to
like
take a nap when I get home.
No, it's going to start at 8 o'clock tonight. And, of course, when a lot of people are listening to this, this is old news to them. But it's a big deal. It's yet to be played. Anyway, who do you got?
I'd like to see TCU.
You would?
Yeah, because, but it's a Georgia. It's going to be a yawner.
Do you think it is? There are two touchdown favorites. You actually see that happening.
Oh, yeah. I think
that's going to happen as well. I think they're going to, yeah. I think TCU's little train has run out of gas.
Texas Christian University. They're all Christians.
That's right. They're all Christians.
I hope so.
We didn't have time to actually do this, but I want to mention the stat of the week. I didn't mention this in the rundown, but the stat of the week has to do with hockey. Has to do with the Boston Bruins.
Hockey.
I guess that was the reason I wore this shirt today. It looks like a hockey shirt.
It does look very much like a hockey shirt.
Hockey jersey. Got your sweater on.
The Boston Bruins at home are 19-0-3. And what that means, folks, they have 19 wins, 0 losses, and 3 ties. Or basically, it went to overtime in which you can't you can't be deemed a loser, even though you can lose in like a shootout. But that's really impressive.
And that one win included the Winter Classic game played at Fenway Park, where they had a pitch. What was it called? The pitch thing. Did you see that? The first, you know how you have the first pitch?
Yeah.
It was a hockey puck. Bobby Orr hit
Is that true?
Jason Veritek, the catcher of the Red Sox.
Is that true?
Yeah,
oh, cool. I love that.
Yeah, but that's one of the 19 wins at home.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
Keep an eye on the Boston Bruins.
That was considered a home game.
Yes.
Let me ask you this, brother. We talked about Franco Harris. We talked about the Pittsburgh Steelers and so forth. Considering the Pirates, who's your favorite Pirate of all time?
Roberto Clemente.
And who's your favorite Steeler of all time?
Steeler of all time?
Yeah. That's good. Oh, I like it. You had a hesitation.
It's a Franco. It's a Jack Ham, of course.
Jack Lambert, is he in there?
Jack Lambert. There's too many.
Are you a Bradshaw guy?
No, not at all.
You don't like him?
No, he's okay.
He's okay.
No, I could tell you stories about him back in the early days, and so could Vicky. All the people in Pittsburgh know what kind of guy he is. Who's my favorite Penguin of all time?
Who's your favorite Penguin?
It's Lemieux or Sid Crosby.
Well, you can't go back and forth. No ping-ponging here, brother. You got to go with Lemieux just because he's old school.
Your Detroit Tiger of all time.
Detroit Tiger. Ron LaFleur. Came out of...
Ron LaFleur? I thought you say Al Kaline.
No, Ron LaFleur. He came out of Jackson State Prison to play Major League Baseball. It's an amazing story. They made a movie about
sometime.
It. They really did. Great. All right, listen, let's do the wrap-up here. In conclusion, as we do always, a quote from a pope. This one comes from St. John Paul II.
God bless Pope Benedict, who passed away since the last show.
That's right. Okay. Sports contribute to the love of life, teaches sacrifice, respect, and responsibility, leading to the full development of every human person. God bless you, and God rest your soul, St. Paul II. Wonderful. John Paul II. Before we go, a special thank you to Elvis Gerbach, buddy Ed Billick, your fellow Croatian. So you guys, I like that you guys.
Laka noć, that means good night in Croatia.
I love that, brother. That was Croatian. Neat that you guys connected on that. Chris, thank you for everything that you do for the show. I'm Dr. John Aquaviva. Please join us next time here on Carolina Catholic Radio and Radio Maria for more faith and sport. Saint Sebastian,
pray for us. In nomine Patri, Filii, Spiritus Sanctus.
Amen.
We want to thank you for tuning in for this week's edition of Faith and Sport here on Carolina Catholic Radio, 1270 AM Charlotte. Also streaming at carolinacatholicmedia.org and on the Carolina Catholic Media app. Make sure when you check out Faith and Sport on carolinacatholicmedia.org or on the app to hit that Donate Now button to help keep great programs like Faith and Sport and other Carolina Catholic Media programs on the air. And thank you to our Radio Maria listeners listening out in Radio Maria land. And we invite you all to tune in again for more Faith and Sport next time.